This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode 151, recorded Wednesday, June 12th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. How are you?
Well, it's currently 3 a.m., so I'm a little tired.
But 3 a.m.? But how is it 3 a.m.? It's only 10 a.m. or 10 p.m.
It's 10 p.m.
Where in the world could you possibly be where it's 3 a.m.?
I'm in New York.
It's not 3 a.m. in New York.
But it feels like 3 a.m. As you may recall, I wasn't here on Monday because I was on vacation. And where I was, it was 3 a.m.
So what time is it now?
Where?
Where you are.
10 p.m. The same as you.
All right.
So
you're just jet lagged.
Well, I arrived home last night, and I wrote up the podcast notes this morning, and I'm prepared to talk about Android.
Android. What is this Android thing of which you speak?
It's what I did when I was abroad. I had my phone with me, and I stuck a local SIM card in it and used data.
And how did that work out for you? How much did it cost? Was it painless? Was it?
Well, I went to the vending machine at Heathrow Airport, and I put in 20 pounds, and I pulled out a SIM card. And it turned out I was so tired I bought the wrong one, so I had to put another 20 pounds in.
Wow, 20 pounds.
Yeah. That's I submitted heavy. For a refund of the second card, but I probably won't get it. So 20 pounds for 1 gigabyte of data.
Yeah, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
It might end up being cheaper.
No, that's what I paid. That's what it cost, 20 pounds. But I didn't have to go apply for anything or fill out any contracts or tell them who I was. I just stuck the card in the back of the phone. The phone spent the entire trip saying non-Verizon SIM card.
That's funny.
And it can't be dispelled. And, you know, I picked a network. I spent a lot of time on the tube. That's what they call the subway. You know, I actually discovered that subway over there means something else.
What does it mean?
Subway is a pedestrian underpass. So I
sure,
got
that makes sense.
Yeah, but I got a little confused. I thought it was the entrance to the tube, the underground railway. Because in New York, when you see a sign that says subway, actually it's the same in London. When you see a sign that says subway, you usually think you're going to have a sub. Huh. You know there were subways everywhere?
Like the sandwich eating place?
Yes. I saw a lot of Kentucky Fried Chickens, Starbucks, Subway. I was talking to the guy who was running one of the walking tours I went on. I went on a Beatles walking tour. They threw it in free with my hop-on, hop-off bus. It was either the Beatles or the Royal Family.
Interesting.
I thought the Beatles were more interesting than the Royal Family.
Sure.
It was very interesting. The tour guide on the Beatles tour kept saying that we were passing by Paul McCartney's office and we might see him.
Did you?
No, he was in New York. He still is in New York.
That's funny.
Apparently, the big Beatles expert did not know where Paul McCartney was, but yet he's here in New York. He did a concert Saturday night, and I think he's on The Daily Show later in the week.
Mm.
Well, actually, no, it's Wednesday. It would have to be today or tomorrow, wouldn't it? Anyway, so that's that. I had a nice time. I met with a vendor.
A vendor?
Well, I'm looking.
Oh, vending.
Well, it's interesting. I was looking to improve the server function of AndroidBuffet.com.
Right.
So I've been talking to a new content delivery network to speed up the downloading of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where they're based? No, I just happened to be emailing them. Guess where they're based?
Sacramento.
No. You were close to the first time.
Greece.
No.
Pompeii.
That would be really hard. Why Pompeii?
I don't know. Why not Pompeii? Okay.
Well,
have you ever been to Pompeii? It's crazy.
No, I was close, but I did not make my way to Pompeii.
Did you make your way to Stonehenge?
No, that would have taken too long.
I'm so super disappointed in you. Like, not a little, like a lot. But carry on with your story.
Excuse me, I saw a lot of things.
I believe you did, but you didn't see the big rocks, the medium-sized rocks.
Okay, there's always next time. But it just happened to be going that the provider I was looking at was in London, and for some reason they invited me out for a pint. I didn't think I was a big enough business target to be invited out by a member of their sales staff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I showed up at a tube station to meet up with the sales rep, and I was fully prepared to meet a British guy. So there I am standing in London meeting a sales rep from Texas, which I thought
that's
was sort
funny.
Of... Not really funny.
That's
I just
cool.
thought I just thought it was sort of interesting that I'm sitting there preparing. I came to London. I happened to be coincidentally having this discussion. So and I had a few free hours, so it worked out. So since I have a couple more days before I have to go back to work, I'm working on the next generation of the Android Buffet server. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
It just launched today in a secret location until it's fully deployed. Once it's deployed, it will take over from the existing server, which will be retired. I like to run both.
Sounds so ominous.
No, I like to, spin the new one up and keep the old one in the background until such a time as the new one has proven itself, and thus the old one can be retired. I don't want to pay for two servers. What do you think I am, made of money?
I do.
Really? Just because I had a luxurious European vacation where I stayed in a hotel by the airport? That's where all the ritzy people stay.
Yep.
At the Premier Inn. Couldn't even afford outlets in the room. Anyway,
it's amazing how small those hotels are over there, isn't it? Or the hotel rooms?
No, the hotel room was actually fairly large.
Really? See, you do make the big bucks.
Have you ever heard of Premier Inn? It's like it's a discount chain. It's a UK discount.
No, I have not heard of.
Well. Let's put it this way. To save money, I stayed 45 minutes from the city center, which would have been a much better plan had they not shut down the transit line that I was staying on for weekend track work. Did not plan on that when I said, I'll save money and stay on a transit line 45 minutes from the city. I'd take a bus ride, though. Anyway, so why don't we talk about some news? I have some exciting stories that I prepared.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Well, I know you've read each and every one of them. So there was an interesting story asking when Americans will finally start lowercasing the word internet. So do you capitalize internet, Jerry, or do you lowercase it?
I lowercase it.
Why? Some people capitalize it.
The congratulations.
To who?
To the people that capitalize it.
Okay. I just thought it was an interesting story. Then somebody was complaining about this, and I was wondering, since I know you like talking about Dyn.com, do you think they're trying to kill the traditional free account that so many people love?
No.
Somebody seems to think so.
Why?
Oh, well, they now require that you not only update your IP address using their client every 30 days, but you have to log in every 30 days. The person who wrote this little blog post thinks that they're trying to trick somebody into forgetting to log in 30 days and get rid of their free account.
Makes sense. I mean, if you're not using it, then...
Yeah, but now that, it used to be that
But really, how often do you have to log in to your Dyn DNS account?
30 days. But it used to be that
to make a change or something. I mean, why never. Would you log in other than,
Well, that was the thing. As long as the client is making the updates, that used to be okay. But now you have to log into their website in addition to having the client update your site. Seems more complicated.
I think it's, sure. Okay. Yeah. I think they're trying to get rid of free users. Makes sense. I don't think they're trying to kill free accounts. I think they're trying to reduce the number of free accounts that are active.
Okay. Let's see, where else are we? Oh, yes. DuckDuckGo has passed 2 million daily searches compared to the billion done by Google. But apparently there was a big jump in recent days. There was some sort of story about how the government knows everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are now using DuckDuckGo as their search engine, apparently. A lot being a lot more than we're using it prior to last week.
I wonder why.
Have you ever used DuckDuckGo?
I hear it's good for programming-type searches, but no.
No, I know people who like it. But, I think Google gives good results. If I start being unhappy with Google, maybe I'll start dugging Google services. I'm not happy with everything Google did, but we'll see where it goes. Let's see. Oh, yes. Members of Congress have called on the FTC to prosecute patent trolls for unfair business practices. So essentially, the FTC would go after them under existing laws without any new laws being created.
Wow. Is that okay? Interesting.
That's legal. Would you consider going after a company under a frivolous patent to be a unfair business practice?
Sure. Okay. I guess, yeah. I don't know about unfair. It's certainly pure evil.
Okay. But let's see if that happens. Meanwhile, tomorrow, the 13th, San Francisco District Attorney and New York State Attorney General will meet with some of the nation's largest smartphone makers to discuss how to render stolen devices useless. Did you know that 1.6 million Americans had their smartphones stolen in 2012?
No, I did not. Although, I'll buy that.
Yes, apparently the choice item is, of course, the iPhone. It has good resale value, apparently. But plenty of other smartphones were stolen as well. Apparently, the majority of Americans support phone tracking, but oppose email tracking. So essentially, they don't care if your phone calls are monitored, but they care whether or not your emails are monitored.
Odd. Wait, phone calls? So, yes. Okay, let me get this straight. Reading emails is okay.
No, it's the other way around.
Recording phone calls is okay. Reading email is not okay.
Well, it's not recording phone calls. It's tracking phone calls. So this would be the metadata.
Tracking phone calls or tracking phones?
Tracking phone calls.
Because when you say phone tracking, what I think is...
metadata.
Tracking the location of the phone. And that would seem to me to be far more serious than emails.
This is what phone calls did you make? How long were they? Who were they to? This is basically your call log.
I think the reason most people don't care about that is because they don't make phone calls.
Do you call people, Jerry?
I do.
Okay. I call people. I called my mother today.
Oh.
Well, I had to.
That reminds me.
We had business.
Everybody, don't forget to call your father this Sunday, because Sunday is Father's Day.
I'll be working. I'll call him Saturday night. Maybe at 12:01 a.m. Anyway, moving along. A new standard for smart SD cards would place a secure element inside a micro SD card for phones with NFC capabilities. So the secure digital standard currently supports micro SD cards that have an NFC and a secure element. I believe we talked about it on the show previously.
Mm-hmm.
But this would allow, since more phones are getting NFC, for the secure element to be in the SD card and then swap between phones that all have NFC. So it would be the equivalent of your credit card, except it would be stuck in the bottom of the phone.
Odd.
Well, then you move it to another phone. And like a credit card, you can report it stolen. The idea being that it's harder to fake. For example, right now, if you have a credit card, somebody gets the numbers, they can buy something.
Yes.
Okay. But what if a secure element ensured that you had to have a physical presence at point of purchase, or you had to have this physical thing with the secure element in it in order to make the payment?
Then that would appear to be completely useless for the internet.
Why? As long as you had the secure element where you were making the purchase, even if you made the purchase at home.
But how would they know that I have a secure element?
I thought the whole idea of two-factor authentication was it was something you know and something you have.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the thing you have be the secure element in the phone itself? Why can't you use that as a verification point?
I don't like it.
Okay, I went to London.
didn't go to Stonehenge. I didn't like that either.
No, I have a different... I'm not going to be bringing it up every 5 minutes just to say, oh, I went to London, I'm so European. No, I'm pointing out that I went to London because of chip and pin. Are you familiar with chip and pin technology for credit cards? It's very popular in Europe. It's non-existent in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. credit cards, you swipe them, they use a magnetic strip. The magnetic strip transfers the number over to the other people. It notes that the card was swiped, and it processes the charge, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Chip and pin is very popular in Europe as a replacement for that. It has a chip inside the card. And they have to bring you a device where you have to enter in your PIN in order to run the card.
So how do you use that on the internet?
I don't know, actually. I should look into that. But the thing is, it means that in order for you to go and charge money against a credit card, you need to know two things. You need to know a PIN code, and you need to actually be in presence of the card.
Now, that sounds like two-factor authentication.
It is. Although, you know why they don't do it in the United States.
Why?
It would cost too much money to convert the infrastructure over, and the credit card companies would rather accept the fraud than pay.
Well, it occurs to me, okay, there's a big problem with carding I don't know if it's big, but in theory, you go into a restaurant and you pay with a credit card, and the waiter swipes your card in a card reader on his way to pay or on his way back from paying your stuff, right?
Yeah, but if you had chip and pin, that couldn't happen unless you had it something that would read the pin as well.
Well, I'm thinking you could still swipe it, and then the waiter or waitress could just watch you put in your pin.
Why would you let them do that?
Because they're probably going to hold the thing that you type the pin on.
No, kinda it's like a handheld device.
When FedEx drops off a package and you sign for it, you know they're holding the device that you're signing.
Well, let's check the internet and see what they say about chip and pin. No, because it definitely has an effect on crime reduction, but let's pull up some of the details. Because, you know, I went over there with my old-fashioned regular credit card, and I didn't have this problem when I was in Italy, but even though they did use chip and pin there. But here, you know, everybody looked at me because they had to go and swipe the card, which they still support, but then they had to go find a pin. Chip and pin from Wikipedia. Let's see what they say. It's a brand name adopted for the rollout of an EMV smart card payment system. The chip refers to a computer chip embedded in the smart card. The pin refers to a personal identification number. Here we are. Crime reduction. Here we are. Okay. How it works. Traditional magnetic strip equipment is being replaced with smart card technology, which would be the pin. When a customer wishes to pay for goods using the system, the card is placed into the point of sale terminal or a modified swipe card reader, which accesses the pin on the card. Once it's been verified as authentic, the customer enters a four-digit pin, which is submitted to the chip on the card. If the two match, the chip tells the terminal the pin was correct. Otherwise, it informs that the pin was incorrect. So the actual pin is loaded onto the chip inside the card. France has cut card fraud by more than 80% since its introduction in 92. Chip and pin is the name given to the initiative in the UK. Crime reduction. While it has reduced crime at the tills when it comes to telephone, internet, and mail order, known as card-not-present fraud, the figures are growing every year. So, let's see here. Since this has become a major area of fraud, other initiatives such as the verified by Visa and MasterCard secure code are being implemented to improve card-not-present security. Since 2008, Visa has been running pilot projects using a card which has a chip, a mini keypad, a display, and a battery expected to last 3 years. The user enters a PIN and a secure one-time-only code is displayed, which replaces the code printed on the back of standard cards.
Interesting.
So it's the same as the one-time-use passwords, where it's, what is it? It's the time protocol where it keeps changing the number, which is what Google Authenticator and those systems use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Have you ever noticed that the CVV number, which is the number on the back of the card, gets rubbed off very easily?
Yes.
Doesn't really seem like very secure if they're adding another three-digit number that you have to enter in, yet it's the first thing along with your signature, which is supposed to verify your identity, which gets rubbed off the card. Anyway.
Well, if it's rubbed off the card, then only someone who's been using the card for a while will be able to do that.
Well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you went to a store, you had to sign a credit card receipt, and somebody compared it to the signature on the back of your card? Which they're supposed to do, by the way. Not that they're handwriting experts, but still.
Never. Although,
Have you ever signed your credit card receipt Donald Duck or some other pseudonym?
No.
Could you?
Sure.
That seems like
if I could figure out how to write Donald Duck, I have a hard enough time writing my own signature.
But you understand my point. People don't seem to look. The current system is not very secure. But yet, it is cheaper to maintain the current system in the United States, apparently, than upgrading
it. It is.
No, the chip and pin system is proven to reduce fraud when the card is physically present. It won't do anything for internet sales, which you mentioned. It could, in theory, but it isn't at the moment. But why not enable it? Because it would cost money. Moving along. Google launched a mobile backend starter, which is one-click deployment of cloud backends for developers. Have you had a chance to check this out, Jerry?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got distracted.
By what?
You don't want to know.
Okay. Sorry. So basically, I think the idea is that if you want the infrastructure to run an app, they're trying to help you by giving you a deployment of a cloud backend that you can use. So once again, Google is trying to do something to encourage developers to do what they want developers to do, which is develop.
Well, it worked for Microsoft.
It did, to a point. The Chicago Sun-Times.
No, it worked for Microsoft. I know you're a Linux user, but...
It worked. I'm saying it hasn't worked for a little while for Microsoft. They haven't got that many.
And largely because they stopped being dedicated to the developers like they used to. Now they just... Oh, anyway. Sorry. Shutting up now.
Why should you shut up? You're 50% of the show, Jerry. You're not the silent partner.
I'm just annoyed. Microsoft has been mistreating its large groups of its developers lately with the way that it has jumped from library to library, and it just frustrating, unhappy me. Gar, evil Microsoft. Wasn't it Ballmer who went on the shout for developers, 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 and now they're just, you know what? Thanks for investing in all that time in our XAML technologies, you know, Silverlight and WPF. Oh, by the way, we're killing that now. Game developers, right? How you doing on that XNA? We know it rocks. Yeah, we're killing that now. Desktop, hey, why don't we do that stuff in HTML and JavaScript? That sounds like fun, doesn't it? What? Just,
Come to Linux. We welcome everybody.
Gar. Yeah, but Visual Studio doesn't run on Linux.
I'm sorry. I tried.
I wonder if it'll run in Wine.
It might. You could try. Anyway, moving along. The Chicago Sun-Times eliminated all of its full-time photography staff, but as a consolation prize, they're going to train their journalists to take photos with their iPhones. In fact, they're offering an introductory course to iPhone photography for all journalists. I'm sorry, I just find that hilarious.
Well, you know...
No, you can take some nice pictures with a cell phone. I'm not going to doubt
that.
You can,
and I mean, how good do they have to be for a newspaper?
I'm going to point out that some photographs have actually won prizes. Photojournalism is a serious thing.
It is. Ask Spider-Man.
No, he changed jobs. Wasn't he laid off?
I don't think he was ever actually had a job, did he?
No, he's just
a freelancer.
I thought he was on contract after a while, but either way, I believe one of the storylines was that he was laid off.
Oh.
I remember reading about that. I have not read Spider-Man in some time, though. Somebody here can confirm that if they are a regular Spider-Man reader. But basically, there is a place for photojournalism. And I think it's disappointing that the Sun-Times has said that that the entire field is not worth having, as opposed to saying we think we need less of these people. Because while photojournalism is important, maybe it isn't important to have professional photographs of, let's say, dog shows or something of that nature. Now I'm going to insult dog lovers. Never mind. Anyway, moving on to some Android-based news, since that's been on the periphery. I like to cover the periphery. Jelly Bean is now on 33% of active devices and ICS on 25.6%. Someday we will get rid of that gingerbread, won't we?
We hope so.
Google has closed the acquisition of Waze, which is a mapping company. Is the best way to describe it. It's actually mostly social traffic data, user-contributed corrections, and all those things seem to be things that Google Maps would benefit from.
Sure.
Like actually responding. I'm not sure if I told you what happened a few years ago when a street in my neighborhood went from two-way to one-way, and I spent a two-year odyssey trying to get Google Maps to understand this and stop trying to route me down that street.
Right. No, we discussed it. Something about running into a big pipe. Am I on mute again? No, I'm not on mute.
No, I was listening.
Okay.
Okay. Shall we move on?
Sure. How much did they pay for Waze?
$1.6 billion, I think. I can double check if you want.
Wow. I thought it was 1.4, but...
1 point something.
Yeah.
I know it was...
More than $1 billion. And how big is Waze? Like, you know, number of people.
It's a tiny Israeli startup, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Can you say wow?
Look at Instagram.
No. Okay, anyway, carrying on.
Okay, I'll carry on. Google is going to keep the CalDAV API public and open up CardDAV access to all. So these are the protocols that would allow you to synchronize your Google Calendar and your Google Contacts to other services.
Sure, but does it work with Outlook?
That's up to Microsoft. Now that they've opened up the API, Microsoft can implement it. There was a whole back and forth because originally Google wanted to keep the API private, so essentially developers would have to partner with them to get access.
That stinks. Although I'm sure Microsoft could afford to be a partner.
Well, in this particular case, Google, based on apparently a lot of feedback, reversed that decision, has decided that any developer who wishes to can use their API. So they've created public endpoints, which proves one thing that I didn't think was possible.
That you can have purple grass?
No, that you can get Google to listen to you if enough people comment. Google is notorious for not changing its position on things. for just saying, oh, yes, we understand that Buzz, you know, there was this big problem with Buzz, we're going to fix it. But not, we've decided to do this, but, you know, enough of you complain, we've changed our mind. Usually most,
wow,
you know, Google is usually going the other way, which is, we released this, but based on your feedback, we're going to change it. So usually they don't reverse their decisions. Usually they make future decisions based on things. It's very odd for Google to make a decision and then decide to change it completely based on feedback, as opposed to unveiling a product, discovering a problem with said product, and let's say call it fixing, as opposed to, I'm just thinking of the Buzz debacle, where none of the engineers realized that some of the things that Buzz did might annoy people.
Yes.
Okay, moving along. Google actually and apparently has explained why they shut down Reader.
No.
Yes, apparently.
What did they say?
Users with smartphones and tablets are consuming news throughout the day, as opposed to the quote-unquote old model of over breakfast and at the end of the day. So Google's solution is to move news collection to Now and Plus, and then use algorithms to decide what's important to an individual to recommend related information. So I was looking at this commentary on that by the Digital Reader, pointing out the big problem with that, that these social networks are fed by people who use news readers. So one of the most popular groups of people who use, let's say, Google Reader and now the other replacements for it,
uh-huh,
are bloggers and journalists who use it to keep track of stories that they want to follow up on and new information. So essentially, they're cutting out the people who are not necessarily the content creators, but are the first line of content distributors, the ones who post these things on social networks.
And now they're going to have to switch to Reddit.
But you understand my point.
I do.
And the point of the writer of this particular article, which, you know, I agree with fully. If you cut out the tool that is used by a lot of people to get their information distributed through these networks, then you're going to see a negative problem. You also have the problem of the filter bubble. Now, since you choose what you subscribe to in a reader service, there is some sort of a bubble there. But by trying to make what you're looking for even more and more relevant to you, you run the risk of missing things that might be relevant that you didn't even know you were interested in.
That's kind of what Reddit does for me.
Okay.
But Reddit is not that easy to use on a smaller screen device, whereas news readers are.
Everybody has their way of consuming information. And I think shutting down one that was popular and used by a lot of people may not have, you know, based on the reasoning they've expressed, may not have been the best move. There may have been other reasons to shut. There may have been other reasons, but the one they've expressed doesn't seem to work.
I think they shut it down because it took a lot of infrastructure and yet produced no revenue.
That was
their own fault. Did it have a way to produce revenue.
Yes, it did.
What?
Yes, it did. They never took. They did not take advantage of the potential of Reader. The potential of Reader is essentially what later became part of Google Plus, which is the social aspect. So essentially, people were saying what things they liked, what they were interested in, and people were essentially sharing stories that were the most popular stories, ultimately. So essentially, they were expressing opinions. They were crowdsourcing information. There was a tremendous amount of data coming out of Google Reader that Google never used. And they could have used that data to make news better. They could have even used that data to make Plus better. They never used that data. So essentially, they're shutting down a service that produced a lot of data that they never took advantage of.
Okay. I don't think that data turns into money, but...
Data does turn into money if you're trying to target advertisement.
Sure. Although, there's no proof that targeted ads work any better than non-targeted ads.
But they usually pay more.
Yes, they do. They are more expensive, but there's no actual data saying that they provide a better response. Although, logically, it would make sense that they do. There's no proof.
Okay. I don't know how you'd prove it.
It's not that hard.
How would you prove it?
Ads can be tracked via actions, you know, clicking on a banner or following through with some action. You know, when there's a website on a on a TV commercial, it's normally not just the website, but it's also the website slash TV or slash, you know, Discovery or something. Well, that's how they know where you come from. And if you go there, they log that as, hey, this person came from here. And they see what you do and they can correlate that back to the original ad. If you're listening to an ad on a streaming radio station or if it came from a banner on a website, then it's even trackable more specifically. So, yeah, it's possible. Sorry. Rant over.
Okay. The Google Play Developer 8-Step Checkup was released, which is a very nice little list. of things you probably should check.
Yes, things that are important to do. Well, they're not important to do, but they're a good idea. Things like take your security seriously, back up your keys, make sure your emails are working, you know, silly stuff.
Okay.
Okay, not silly, but...
Not silly. Good ideas. I have to-do lists. They're always. It's always good to have a list. Apparently, a recent poll has shown that 83% give favorable opinions of Google, which is 10% more than Apple and more than 20% more than Facebook.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. It depends on your perspective. Facebook has a very different approach. I can understand why people do not trust Facebook and people do trust Google.
No, I mean that 73% of people have favorable opinions of Apple.
Okay, I don't get that either.
And really, 63% of people are 60% of people have a favorable opinion of Facebook?
Apparently.
Really? In light of that, an 83% favorable opinion of Google doesn't seem to mean a whole lot.
So what you're saying is you think people are overly trusting?
I think that they have favorable opinions of companies that create products that they use, regardless of the actual behavior of said company.
I can accept that. Moving on, there was an interesting piece of hardware I was going to ask your opinion, Jerry. Apparently, there's a company that's putting out a Bluetooth slider keyboard case for several phones.
Okay.
So I'm asking, is there still a demand for a slider keyboard?
Not for me.
For people.
Keyboard dude. What do you think?
Yeah, but once the screen got big enough that I could type on it, the hardware keyboard wasn't as necessary. The reason why I needed it early on was that my fingers were too big for the screen. Once the screen got bigger, I was able to type on it more efficiently by holding the phone in a landscape orientation.
Okay, it doesn't actually plug into anything on the phone, right? It attaches via a sticker?
No, it's like a case.
Okay.
So now, you have a
sticky... I think it is kind of cool that it's got its own battery.
Yeah, which means it won't drain the phone's battery. Also, you have the other part that you wouldn't be able to standardize it, although this one is specifically designed to fit around specific phones. But I'd imagine that the slider keyboard itself is a generic part and the case is a different part, so they just put the two together.
I don't know. The phone or the case looks pretty, you know, custom for the phone that it's attached on. Of course, maybe that's the
idea. I'm saying I think the keyboard is inside. I think what they have is an outer piece that is the case, and the inner piece that the keyboard is identical amongst different devices. So the subcomponent.
I just don't think. I mean, that's got to add what? That's got to add a lot of thickness, right?
Well, you know what I ordered when I was abroad?
Chips, fish and chips.
Too many times. I ordered a 6,000 milliamp battery for the Galaxy S3.
Wow.
For when I go on long trips and want it to last all day.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what I was doing, which was swapping out batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. So I wouldn't be using this continuously because most of the time I do not need to be out and about for that many hours. But I ordered the battery because I got a good deal. And I want to see, this battery is so big that it doesn't fit in the exterior case. They give you a different backing that pops on in a case that goes around it.
Sure.
And it doubles the depth of the phone.
Okay, yeah.
So the current battery takes up, you know, it's the size of a little square. It takes up part of the phone in the back. This takes up the entire size of the phone and compensates for that by having a bigger case around it.
Mm. Apparently this keyboard is only available for the S3 and S4.
And the iPhone, but I'm not counting that.
I can't find one for the iPhone.
I did a look online. There are Bluetooth slider keyboards for the iPhone. That are made by similar companies.
Ah, similar companies. Okay, I was looking for that exact manufacturer.
I mentioned this in the broader sense, which is, do people still want keyboards attached to their phones?
I don't think they do. I can't comment about people. I mean, if you had a keyboard like that was as wide as the phone, then I could see some value in that. You know, a keyboard that is the size of my HTC. That is just the keyboard.
Yeah.
That'd make for a really comfortable keyboard. But what I'm seeing, at least in the snapshot, is that it's a tiny old keyboard.
Yeah, but admittedly, if you look at the reviews of the item, it is not the best implementation of the idea. I checked the Amazon reviews.
Mm.
I always go the final step.
Good job, you.
Yeah. Moving along, Feedly has officially left Google Reader and has completed its transition to its new backend, and they're opening up for third-party development. So a lot of apps that used the Reader API will be able to use the Feeder API, which is apparently nearly identical. So a lot of those apps will once again be working.
Excellent.
If you're interested in a visual swipe-driven speed dialer, you can try out Pure Contact, which looks very nice if you had a chance to look at it, Jerry.
Does it do landscape?
I did not test that. I did not make any phone calls on my trip. I'm sorry. I paid for a data sim. I didn't have a phone number. Actually, I probably did have a phone number. I didn't know what it was. Let's see here. But I'll give it a shot for next week. WordPress, the app was updated to 2.4, which added push notification of comments and other statistics. So you can use their app along with a Jetpack account, which is the WordPress.com. But hey, Jetpack.
I just thought it was, yeah, it's...
It's the plugin for WordPress.
It's an account with the Jetpack. And, I mean, hey, who wouldn't want to use a Jetpack?
Well, that's what they call the plugin. That...
Okay, I understand. I'm just saying, before it sounds, I thought it was funny.
Floating Notifications is now in the Play Store. They have a 30-day trial after which you can pay, which is a nice long trial. Floating Notifications are inspired by the Chathead thing that Facebook was doing. You can have any notification float up on top of your existing app and then be dispelled later. Here's an interesting one. McAfee Smart Perimeter Plus, which is in beta, links your phone and tablet and then sets off an alarm if they are separated from the same wireless network. So essentially, they have to be connected to the same network, and if one of them goes off of that network, then it will sound an alarm, unless you put in a PIN code override.
Interesting.
I thought so.
I don't find it, I don't think I would find it that useful, because none of my tablets connect to the same network as my phone.
Well, this is a Wi-Fi network. You actually isolate your tablet from your... That's interesting. Wi-Fi Tether for Root got its first Google Play update in nearly a year. It can be downloaded as a sideload, but it's nice that they're updating it in the Play Store. Action Launcher has got an update to 1.8. It now can configure grid size, it can change which widget is controlled by the shutter feature. You know, I really like the shutter feature, Jerry.
I don't know the shutter feature.
Okay, well, what it is this. If you swipe the icon on your home screen.
Yes.
Under Action Launcher. Then right. It will pop up the widget for that program.
What if the program doesn't have a widget?
Then it won't have a shutter.
Oh.
And it used to be that it would defaultly pick the first widget. Now you can actually change which widget is being used.
Interesting.
I don't know. I like it to actually keeping widgets up all the time. Let's see. The JetBlue app, since I'm a big fan of JetBlue, has added mobile boarding passes and timetables. So now you can check in with your mobile boarding pass.
Has it added Wi-Fi to the airplanes?
No. But every time I go on them, I ask and they say soon.
Have you, you should look, next time that they say that, you should tell them something similar to, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
I might do that, but I think they believe it.
Do you get the reference?
Yes.
Okay.
Falcon Pro adds multi-account support. So that's a very popular Twitter app that unfortunately is limited by all the other limitations of Twitter apps, namely that Twitter hates Twitter apps. But now it has multiple account support. The Google Stock keyboard is now in the Play Store. So yet another Google system app is now available for public download.
I don't know why you would want this Google Stock app, our Stock keyboard.
It's improved. It does swiping and all that other stuff.
You know, I am so used to SwiftKey.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could go to another keyboard. And it's not like it's a great keyboard. It's just that its predictions are so awesome.
And it was great in the UK because those guys are all British. Every time I typed in a British term, they knew it.
It works great with two languages.
That I've never tried, but I know you have.
Yeah. Yes. And trust me, it works really good with two languages. And, you know, that's kind of important to me. I don't know. Do any of our listeners have any of our listeners downloaded the Stock keyboard?
I'd love it if we heard from
them. Well, I'm asking them. Let us know. Stock keyboard, is it something that you would actually download? You know what I'm saying?
The Pocket Edition of Minecraft was updated. I know a lot of people are Minecraft fans.
I don't know why.
You build stuff. It's cute. I'm not a big gamer, but you know, I know people like it. Hangouts, if you like the Hangouts app, has been updated with performance and bug fixes. Do you like the Hangouts app, Jerry?
No, although I tend to end up using it.
Well, so do I, because it's what's there. But I actually enjoyed the talk app a lot, and some of the deficiencies are really getting to me.
For example?
I mentioned it. Presence notification is a big one. How would you like it, Jerry, if no matter what time of day it was, if I thought you were available, I tried to contact you? I like people being able to tell me this might be a bad time.
Oh, see, I on purpose leave my all of my online personas set to online. I don't do any...
So do I. I leave the thing on 24 hours a day.
So people can't tell when I'm actually there. The best I can do is just ping me and see if I answer.
And sometimes I do that.
Yep. And sometimes I answer. And sometimes I...
But there's some people... I'm saying there are plenty of people where I would like to know whether or not they want to tell me that they're there or not. If you
sometimes
always...
Sometimes you'll ping me and I will see you ping me and I won't answer because I'm busy.
That's hurtful.
I'm just... I've got my mind in code. And
okay.
And I'll do that to anybody.
So do I. I've been having my mind in code all evening. You don't often hear that from me, do you?
No, I don't.
Told you, building a server.
Actually, to be... Honestly, I kind of think you're being sarcastic.
No, I told you, I'm building a server.
Does that count as code? I guess, maybe. I don't know. Does it?
Scripting?
Sure. Okay, I'll go with that. Scripting's code.
Okay, so I'll say I've been working on some scripting.
Okay.
Also some configuration and some other stuff. I'm tired of those bots. My new server will defend against bots.
Good. Evil bots, go away.
Well, I'm tired of those guys using my resources.
Yes.
They're not going to get in. They're just going to waste my time. Actually, I suppose they could get in. Anything's possible, but they're probably not, only because they're trying to log in as a user who doesn't exist over and over again. Anyway, that's my problem. But, Jerry, we do have one or two more things to discuss before we wrap up, since we're almost done for the evening. Next week, we will be back to our normally scheduled Monday time.
Yay!
I'll be back at work. Mixed yay. Oh, well, I need the money. Of course, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. You know what they say about them?
If it's tech, it's there. If it's tech, it's here. If it's here, it's tech.
It's somewhere.
If it's something, it is somewhere.
Yes, and you know what you can check out over on Tech Podcast? You can check out Geeksters.tv. Apparently in episode 72, they've titled it The Return of Eric the Great Host, Martin Obando, Guests, Eric Arduino, Team Bauermeister, Producer Mitch Heyman. So it doesn't actually tell me what the show's about, but I'm sure it's interesting. And also you can check out All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast, in its 349th episode.
Wow. Is that like weekly?
I have no idea. I'm not a World of Warcraft person, but people are. So if you're interested, go check it out. Check out whatever you want. Once again, I want to give a thank you to Robbie Ferguson over at Category 5, who has been hosting our stream, for a generous donation to his show. Actually, generous is probably a bad word.
Why?
Well, it's cheaper than what I was paying before. And when you convert from Canadian into U.S. dollars, it costs almost nothing. I hope the exchange rate doesn't change on me. Anyway, I want to thank him for continuing to host the show for up to 30 listeners, so we keep getting a higher listener count and a higher quality bandwidth. And other than that, of course, you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+. Just search for Android Buffet. You can find Jerry wherever Jerry's can be found.
Hi.
Just look for Jerry. We, of course...
J-E-R-E. That'll help.
Yes. We have not gotten a voicemail from somebody other than Steve McLaughlin in a while, or even from Steve himself. I'm sure he's listening. Anyway, so we're happy to hear from you. I have to get to work on that podcast art, but the people from Dyne.com haven't paid us. I'm sure they will eventually.
Sure.
I should go ask.
How long did it take GoDaddy to pay us?
We never advertised with GoDaddy. I can't stand GoDaddy.
No, it wasn't GoDaddy. It was
GoToMeeting.
GoToMeeting.
No, they paid us a long time before that. It's just the people at the advertising company claim that I never gave them the PayPal address to commit the payment. So they never bothered to contact me. I'm positive I gave the PayPal address that last time and this time, but maybe I should email them and ask them where our money is, because I wanted to use that to fund some new podcast art. Not that anybody's volunteered for any, but I could always try to hire someone. Anyway, I could try to draw it myself. Then it wouldn't be art, but...
Speaking of art, I have a story.
Is it about a guy named Art?
No, it's about an art show.
Okay, tell me about it.
Okay, so over the course of the school year, my 6-year-old daughter was going on Saturday mornings, would go to an art class. And they would, you know, intro to art, they would do stuff. Well, yesterday was the art show, where they basically rent out this building and then plaster all the walls and with art and stuff. Well, I volunteered to help with breakdown. That was cleanup this morning because the art show was yesterday. Okay, so I would like you to imagine a 4x8 sheet of plywood, three quarter inches thick. Okay. You got that in your head?
Yeah, I used to have one of those.
Now, give it a frame, give it a border made out of 2x4s, okay?
I've done that on both sides. Yeah. I used to build those.
Okay. Now take two of them and attach them with hinges.
Okay.
Now imagine 30 of them. And that's what I was carrying around this morning. And the truck was a long way from where they, where the dividers were, the, self-standing walls. And it was just me and another guy carrying these things. Oh my God, they're heavy. My forearms and hands hurt. It was rough.
I've been in pain due to a war injury.
Due to a who?
A war injury.
When were you at war?
I wasn't. I was injured at a war site. I'd like to point out.
Or hurt?
I'd like to point out that things made prior to the 19th century have many stairs and no elevators. And the stairs are narrow and steep. And it's like mountain climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're windy because they don't want the warriors who might be attacking the castle to get up them too fast. Yes. I also learned that Jack the Ripper could have been Jewish, but that's a whole other discussion. I'll save that for next week.
I'm sorry. A bad joke came to mind. Anyway.
Jerry, I look forward to seeing you next week when I will feel like it's 10 o'clock instead of 3 in the morning.
All right. Well, you get yourself some bed rest.
Well, I deliberately added a few days at the end. I don't go back to work until Sunday, so a little time to adjust back to New York. I hear there's a major thunderstorm coming tomorrow.
Is there? Is that the same one that came through? Are they calling it Andrea?
I don't know. I no longer watch the Weather Channel. I can't stand Al Roker. When I want to know what the weather forecast is, I just call my mother.
Huh.
No, she loves watching the weather.
I understand. Like my five. Mom did too for a while. Maybe she still was.
No, she doesn't like the Weather Channel. She can't stand Al Roker any more than I can. She has 5 weather apps on her phone. She loves to cycle through them and combine a composite of the weather.
Wow.
Yeah, we all have our hobbies. On that note, I'm going to say goodnight, and I hope that your arms feel better, and you can hope that my legs feel better. And hopefully both of us will feel better by next week. And to all of you out there in streaming podcast land, good night.
Good night.